Good morning, this is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I would like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. Little different show this morning. It started off with me separating Mr. Tom Coyne, our Seahawks lender fan, and Mr. John McKay, our resident in-house Packers fan. It seems like we've calmed down enough to do the show.
Oh, it's fun.
It's quite a weekend around here. So, gentlemen, how are you guys doing?
You know, I am so excited for tomorrow. I can't even contain myself.
And neither can John. Our spirited conversation.
I'm just over here relaxing. I will say this, though, that it's times like this in the year that I'm glad I'm not a Jaguars fan.
Or a Raiders fan.
Or a Bears fan.
Yeah.
Or a Lions fan.
Well, you guys, I must say, you guys were pretty well-behaved. We appreciate putting those differences aside so that we can actually do a real estate show. But things have been real busy lately, and regardless, it's kind of fun to see everybody getting pretty excitable about things going on and football. And
yeah, it's incredible. It's just a great time of year, and I just love that my team's playing another week.
Yeah, there you go. Well, fantastic. Well, we always like to start off with our crazy real estate story before we jump into our local topic. House of the Week coming out of Zillow here on Zillow.com is a very energetic house flipper out of Houston. And so this gal has gone ahead and purchased a house that they're now asking $12.9 million for, and her grand feature of this house is she put in a three-story closet. That ought to get the job done. I'm not sure I could fill my one little half,
Where did I put that blue t-shirt?
And so, interesting flip on this one. They put a couple million dollars in the property, and they're asking three times what they paid for the house in July of 2013. So, kind of a high-end flip out there in Houston. And she said that she always ended up with her friends at parties and charity events in the closet. Showing them stuff she had and stuff. She said, well, why not? We just moved the party. A closet big enough to have a party in.
Interesting.
So that was House of the Week out of there. The big news that this is one of my favorite shows to do, because what we're doing this week is all of our numbers are in and have been tabulated from our 2014 sales, Tri-City Association of Realtors data. So I've gone in, I pulled out different areas, looked at the market data, and we have some great, great data to now look at and see where we ended up for 2014. And like we had been saying all along, we were seeing just a little uptick each month. We were starting to creep a little bit ahead of last year, and it completely finished out that way as a pretty significant increase. So what we had happen, final tabulations, 2014 total number of residential sales, and we came right in at 3,477. So last year, 2013, that was only 3,296. So we were a 5.5% increase over 2013, which was a fantastic year also.
Mm-hmm.
Going back not too far in the history too, that puts us at a 19% increase over 2012.
Wow.
So, as far as gross number of transactions that we had there, increasing 5.5%, getting over 3,400 sales in our local market was very, very significant.
Now, do you think a portion of that was population rising in Tri-Cities or rates or kind of a mixture?
It's a little bit of a mixture, but one of the things that we've done a lot of and worked with a lot is we are kind of back in that realm of people are relocating to this area. We're starting to see a bigger influx of more people starting to move around. Jobs are more plentiful, and so we're starting to get a lot of people coming into the area. Another reason for that increase too is that the rates were so low. The rates continued to stay low last year, so a lot of people that had been thinking about doing a move up buy or a new construction purchase went ahead and sold their smaller homes and then got bigger homes. And so kind of all of those factors led to that number of sales. Another interesting number that we don't always think about sometimes, though, is those sales represent a dollar volume of $737 million dollars in the Tri-Cities of sold residential real estate. So that's a big number. That's a chunk.
A lot of money moving around, wasn't there?
There was a lot of money moving around. So the next thing that we always like to do is we like to break down, and people always ask me, where is the market? What price ranges make up that market, and what does that look like? And so the first data that I went through and broke down and did some calculations on was bracketing some price brackets and saying what percentage of the sales were in that price bracket. So number one is I do 0 to 100,000. So I do 0 to 100,000. That represents 281 sales last year, and that's 8% of our market. The next bracket, if I did 100,000, was too big to get a good number. So then I went 100 to 150. Now, so just in that $50,000 price bracket, 622 sales, 18% of our market. And then when I go 150 to 200, that's where we have our largest number, 953 sales, representing 27% of our real estate market happens between 150 to 200,000.
Wow.
So, you know, if you're building in that price point and you look around, and we have some production builders that can really knock out a decent amount of houses in that price range. Now, too, that's a very competitive price range because it's hard to get a lot of value into that price point. But that's where you start to see our average price points. That's where you really start to kind of see the bread and butter of sales. That really between, when you add those two together, between 100 to 200,000, you're really looking at 45% of our market. So it kind of starts to tell people, okay, where should I be building? Where are the sales happening? Well, 45% from 100 to 200, that tells you there's a lot of sales happening there. And then things start to drop off a little bit. 200 to 250 drops back down to 575, so that's 16% of our sales. And then 250 to 300, very similar number, 482, 14% of our sales. And then after we get over 300, that's when we really start to see the drops. You know, people ask, what's going on in the upper market? How many homes are moving in the upper market? 300 to 350, only 6.5%, represents only 6.5% of our sales. 224. And then we go 350 to 400. That number drops again down to 141 and only 4% of the sales. The next bracket, the statistically wasn't very meaningful, so I went 400 to 5. 400 to 500,000 in the Tri-Cities, 109 sales, so decent amount.
Yeah, there was.
But that really only represents 3% of our market. And then, boy, when you go 500 to 600, only 34 sales and 1% of our market. So once you get above that 5 to 600, you're down to less than a total of 2% of our market.
Wow.
So that's a very competitive range. You know, a lot. And why that is a lot of times folks, when they get it to that certain level, they're going a custom construction route. Meaning, if I'm going to spend that much money on a house, I'm going to go ahead and build it and get exactly what I want. So there's pluses and minuses to that. The plus is eventually all of those homes have to be resold for one reason or another. So when that happens, a lot of times you can get a lot of built-in value for that because that house sometimes will sell for less than it was built for on a resale market versus what it costs to build it. So that kind of really breaks down our bread and butter of what we're looking at as far as the different price ranges and what's selling. But once again, like we have been saying all year, it was a great year. I mean, we had a lot of sales.
For our math listeners out there, you really just described a bell curve where the big chunk is right in the middle.
Yep, that's exactly right. And so, you know, it's pretty and fun and exciting to, you know, sell $400,000 or $500,000 house, but the majority of our business really happens mm-hmm. in that middle area.
Well, for the $1 million question, did we have any $1 million homes?
Oh, I didn't even prep you on this, McKay. You're doing fantastic. Actually, now that you asked, I printed off for fun one of the things I thought I would do, and I didn't do this last year, but I thought I would print off the lowest price sold house. And then the highest price sold house.
Oh, there you go.
And we would compare those two. So in the MLS data last year, lowest price stick-built house that sold was we had a house over in Pasco on Park Street. This was 380 square feet, built in 1930 and sold for $32,000.
Huh. Mm.
So described as a nice little bungalow cottage in the remarks. And so that was sold as a cash sale for $32,000. So then I turned the spreadsheet around and looked at our highest price sale. Highest price sale was sold for just right at $1.2 million, $1.19 to be exact. And the square footage comparison, a little different than our 380 square foot bungalow, was 17,000 square feet. Now, it's interesting to note, though, our lowest price home actually paid more dollars per square foot. Now, this is why you can't always pay attention to dollars per square foot, but they paid on that calculation comes out to be $84 a square foot, where our $1 million plus home paid $67 a square foot, which I do not think you could replicate or rebuild. That was, that was a home over $1 million, but That's a deal.
That's value there.
Hard to build a shell. Yeah, I mean, even just for $64 a square foot. So McKay, great question. On that note, I think we're gonna wrap up our first segment. When we come back, we're gonna look at some of these stats in coordination with what Tom is doing on the lending side, and talk a little bit more about market summary, what happened in 2014, and moving forward into 2015.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been here talking about kind of really digging into some numbers, looking at exactly statistically what happened in 2014. We've tabulated the data. We've taken a look at everything. And based upon the number that sold, it looks like we're looking at about a 5.5% increase in the number of transactions, over $700 million in real estate moved. So one of the things I said, gosh, you know what, before we have Tom talk about his section and give us that lending update, I looked at those 3,477 transactions, Tom, and I started to break down how were those financed. And so we came up with some great information. So of those transactions, 1,849, 53% of those transactions we're done, Tom, with what type of loan program do you think?
I'm going to guess conventional financing.
You're at the spot on. So, yeah, so half of the transactions that are done with a conventional loan program. The next number down from that is we had, and I was shocked, this was a little bit higher than I was thinking, but 17%, 609 transactions, 17% were done with FHA financing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know for that first-time home buyer or some maybe some credit issues, still quite a bit of that driving our market. That was a pretty large number. VA, we've done a lot of VA this year with our Homes for Heroes program and that. 303 VA loans done, so just under 10%, 9% of the transactions.
How many were cash transactions? You got that?
Cash transactions, more than VA, actually. So cash transactions, 517 done with cash, and that is represents 15% of the market sales for cash transactions.
Oh, interesting.
And then there was a couple smaller ones. One to note that I put in here was real estate contracts. Real estate contracts or deed of trust done through MLS listed properties. Now, some of these are done off books. I don't have access to that data, but of stuff that was listed with agents or in the MLS, only 11 of those notated as a real estate contract. So we're down to like 0.25%.
So that's a situation where the seller is carrying the financing.
Exactly. The seller has the property paid off free and clear, and the seller says, yeah, you can buy the house for $100,000. I'll take 20 down from you, and you can make payments to me for the next 10 years for the balance of the 80.
Well, you know, the number that, and you said you thought it was kind of high, but FHA, you know, just looking back as much as, 4 or 5 years ago, FHA used to be above 40% of the transactions we used to do.
Yeah.
And the reason it's come down so far is because the mortgage insurance has gotten very, very expensive. In 2008, 9, 10, when there's so many homes going back on the market, a lot of them were FHA loans. And it makes sense because FHA allows a borrower to go down a lower credit score. So if you have a lower credit score, you have a history of having derogatory credit, and maybe those patterns continue and you lose your home. Well, FHA was losing a lot of money over the last 10-year period. So they were raising these mortgage insurance rates to keep the program around and help circumvent or offset all the losses they were taking with these foreclosures. Lance, it is interesting to note, though, that in the next week, FHA is dropping their mortgage insurance rates by 0.5%.
So maybe we would see that number go back up next year.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting next year's show to see if that makes an increase in our local number of FHA transactions.
Yeah, so that is definitely a good tie-in, because 0.5% is a substantial amount of money for a home buyer. And what it does directly for them, it gives them a lower payment. It's going to make it a lot more affordable for them to get a house. But leading right into my topic here, I just want to talk about rates. And Lance, wow.
Yeah.
I'm just surprised. Every single week I come to the office, and they seem to just be getting lower and lower and lower here recently. And we actually just hit a 19-month low last week.
Okay. I saw that sheet that you sent out and emailed out, and I did a double take. I stopped, and I was like, that can't be right. But, yeah, you're right. They're extremely low.
So they haven't been this low since May 2013, and according to Zillow Mortgages, the average 30-year fixed rate got as low as 3.57%. last week.
I just have to laugh about
Yeah,
it.
It's astounding, astounding what rates are doing right now. It's catching me off guard, that's for sure.
But I love it.
According to Zillow Mortgages, the 15-year fixed rate average was at 2.87. But I never imagined that rates would drop to the point where they are recently. And with how low rates are, it should be no surprise that applications for mortgages have actually increased as well. So according to Mortgage News Daily, refinance applications jumped up 1% last week, and home purchase applications rose by 12% last week.
Yeah, it's really driving activity in the marketplace.
So I think we're going to see refinance applications rise in the coming weeks. It seems like it takes a little bit for the news to get out there to homeowners how low rates are. And I think if rates stay, especially, we're going to see refinances rise. And purchases will probably rise as we just move into the typically more busy season. Now, the reason I don't think refinances are going to rise dramatically is because in 2012 and 2013, 2013, a lot of people did their refinances. They got them done. They have these low rates, and they're still in the home. But for those people who maybe missed that window back in 12 and 13, it's definitely a good time to get in and secure a low interest rate. Now, what we can even do for some people is structure their refinances with zero closing costs. And what this does is it eliminates what I call the break-even point. Now, the break-even point is where someone's monthly savings of refinancing has added up to the amount that it cost them to refinance. So let's say it costs someone $4,000 to refinance, but they're saving $200 a month. They have to save that $200 a month every month for 20 months to get back to the $4,000. That's the break-even point, and every month after that, they start coming ahead by that $200. Now, a refinance where someone saves 150 months, but maybe it costs them zero, there is no break-even. So, I think we'll see refinances rise here in the coming weeks, especially if rates stay low. Hard to say, though. Now, looking at that 12% increase in purchase transactions, it's not a surprise. I think a lot of people who plan to purchase this year were sitting there looking at rates and saying, geez, you know, maybe I need to move up my timeline and purchase a home sooner so I can get in while rates are this low. Because there's no doubt in anyone's mind that everyone feels rates are going to go up. But like you said, I think that low rates are playing a huge role in the surge in business we're seeing. Now, you may recall from our show, it's been about a month ago, where we were talking about what economists and industry analysts expected 30-year rates to be at the end of this year. And they were thinking around 5.5%, and some have even projected to be around 6%. Now, that was the same projection that was forecasted for the end of 2014. Obviously, that was incorrect, but they carried those expectations over to 2015. Now, as the demand rises, which is likely going to be the case as rates stay low, we could see those rates tick back up. But only time's going to tell, and if they do rise, it can have a big impact on people's payments. So what I wanted to do was a little bit of math to compare the 30-year average rate, according to Zillow, with what people might expect to see the rate at the end of the year. I think it's going to show everyone who's considering buying or looking into refinancing, now's the time to do that. So if someone had a 30-year fixed rate mortgage at 3.57, again, that's Zillow's average rate, on a $200,000 loan, their principal and interest payment would be $905.92.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Now, over the next 30 years, they'd end up paying $126,131.20 in interest payments. It's a big number, right? But let's say that rates do what economists are expecting them to do, and they go to 5.5%. Now, that same $200,000 loan, that payment's going to increase by $229.66 to $1,135.58. It's a huge jump up. And over the next 30 years, they're going to pay an additional $82,677.60 in interest.
Wow.
So if $82,000 doesn't tell you that right now is an awesome time to buy versus putting it off till October, then I don't know what will.
Yeah, no. That's,
even I understood that.
That's really compelling when you look at those numbers and what could possibly happen. And you look at the savings, too. What if somebody had two of those properties? I mean, what if we're looking with an investor or something? I mean, there's an additional, you know, $160,000 in less expenses.
You know, I do a lot with Zillow, and we advertise on Zillow. I just got a call from a guy in Bremerton. He saw my reviews online. And we just refinanced him from a 30-year to a 20-year. We cut, he had like 4 years already into his mortgage. So he cut 6 years off his mortgage, and his payment went down.
Yeah, and his payment went down.
So he's saving money every month, and he's paying it off 6 years faster. So you can multiply your payment by 6 years. How much would I pay in those 6 years? And that's your savings.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Huge amount of money. So if you're thinking about buying a home in the coming months, please give me a call. We have a tremendous six-month rate lock special that gets you today's rates for when your house is done. Or if you're wondering if a refinance could save you any money, call your current lender first. Get a quote from them. And then call me. And hopefully I'm going to be able to earn your business. Or if you're thinking about buying a home, I'd love to sit down, go through your options, and let you know what we can do for you.
Yeah, folks, I tell you what, we've already just come off with a just red-hot fire start. Tom's working on numerous applications for our clients, our sellers. We have a lot of folks right now calling us early spring market, low inventory. Let's put our house on the market. Let's do the upgrade, make the move that we've been wanting to do, because right now we're doing it at the bottom of the cycle. So there's a lot of people really saying, I'm pretty sure this is where the bottom has bottomed out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make my move, set myself up for the next 10 years, and just kind of kick back and relax with the low rates.
Yeah,
so,
and save my $235 a month, or whatever it's going to be.
Absolutely. So we got a quick pick three here with some properties that are out there. We have an amazing house out in the White Bluffs development off of Dallas Road. This is 1037 Cayuse Drive. And what this is a brand new construction, volume-built home, 2,460 square feet. It's got a fantastic view, just a perfect location with quick access to the freeway, shopping, schools. All within 5 minutes, you can get to all of those amenities. Custom finishes in the home, lots of tile, updated light fixtures, and that's priced at $335,000. So that is just super fantastic place. Pick number two here, I've got 120 Meadow Hills Drive, and this is out in Richland. It's a custom-built four-bedroom, three-bath home in South Richland. 3,550 square feet. It's just got a huge, large living room that has the big masonry fireplace with it, granite counters in the kitchen, formal dining room, second fireplace in the family room, plus a 21 by 13 bonus room on the main level. Great big master suite, and then another bonus room downstairs. So this is a fantastic home, and it's priced at $399,000. Coming in South Richland, below $400,000, is just an incredible, incredible property. And then the number three pick that I put down here is we just have a beautiful estate-type home on the river in Pasco. This is almost 5,000 square foot house, and it is top end. Viking appliances, huge island, big, huge, tall ceilings, like 20-foot ceilings. The amazing river view out those windows from the main area. And this is a lot right on the river, and that comes in at $995,000. So to get on the river with that big of an estate home and that large of a lot, it's an incredible, incredible opportunity with tons of high-end finishes. If you have any questions about any of those houses, you can always reach me on my cell phone, 727-8977, or you can go to our website at kenmoreteam.com. We have a couple more statistics here to kind of round out the show, some fun ones that I printed off. Tom, the most amount of sales in the Tri-Cities, break me down by city. I'm going to give you, your options are your basics, Richland, Kennewick, Pasco. We're going to include West Richland and Benton City in those sales.
Okay. A couple years ago, I would have said Pasco for number one, but not anymore. I'm going to go with Kennewick for number one.
Kennewick number one, you're right. That's good on the spot. Large number, 1,292 sales in Kennewick, taking 37% of the residential market.
Wow.
So you're right. You know, Pasco there for a while was just smoking along, and tons of that growth has gone out to Kennewick. You've seen it with them upgrading the streets. You've got SEPTO Extension going on. You've got more of SEPTO Extension now on the other side of Clearwater, heading out to South Kennewick. So they're really investing a lot. I mean, last year we talked to the mayor and had some of the planning people on the show. So large investment going into Kennewick, and that is really translating to huge market share in those sales.
So is it Richland 2, Pasco 3?
You're exactly right.
Yeah.
Close. Richland, 904 sales for 26% of the market. Have not seen Richland come in ahead of Pasco in a long time.
Right.
And then Pasco was very, very close to that, 867, so about 30 less sales for 25% of the market. West Richland, then the fourth, 267 sales representing 8% of the market. And then City, 117, 3% of the market.
You know, I think we're going to see West Richland really grow. It seems to be a lot of development going on out there.
Mm-hmm. There is. And here's interesting. When I looked at where would you want to sell? So then I took it a step forward, a step farther, and I said, okay, what were our days on the market in all of those cities versus average sales price? So Kennewick, our number, most amount of sales, 66 days on the market, average sales price, $210,000. Richland, 67 days on the market, one day more over all of those transactions. But the highest average sales price in Richland, $249,000 versus $210,000 in Kennewick. Pasco right behind that at $40,000. But here's the thing about Pasco. We just did Richland and Kennewick, basically 66 days on the market. Pasco, 47 days on the market.
Hmm.
Average sales price, $192,000. So what you do is you have a lot of value in Pasco. You're getting a little more for your money as far as a house, but that's why they're selling in 47 days versus 66 in the other two cities. You can't find what you want out there. So what these statistics start to tell us, well, what they tell Lance is go get more listings in Pasco. So I'm going to be running around the neighborhoods out there this weekend looking for people that need to sell. If you need to sell in Pasco and you want to take advantage of the 47 days on the market, that's a cue to call or go to my website. But you're also at a little bit lower average sales price. Now, West Richland, here's just this. I love when I do these stats because it really helps me focus my personal business too. West Richland is very similar to Pasco. 49 days on the market.
Wow.
But get this, their average sales price, $241,000, just below Richland.
Wow.
So you've got one of the highest average sales price and one of the lowest number of days on the market.
It's really an attractive area. People want to be west.
Scenery, a lot of river views, wider,
absolutely.
Bigger spaces.
And so if you've thought about selling and you're in that West Richland, I mean, the data that we're looking at there is really pointing toward
location.
So great, great news there with all of our stats. We kind of broke it down by the cities. If anybody has any questions about how this relates to your personal property and your sale or buying, please go to our website. We are here working, and it really feels the way it's been, like an early spring market. Lower inventory, early spring market. And so we're going to crank it out until the snow flies again. It always flies one more time. Hopefully I didn't just jinx us, but I'm expecting it once more. But right now we're acting like this is a spring market and we're going crazy. So give us a call. Tom, if they need to get a hold of you on the lending side,
please give me a call, 783-7300, or go to my website, TomCoynHomeLoans.com.
And we will be right back here next week where the Packers-Seahawks score will be settled for this year.
Relax. Right here on News Talk 870.